The other simanim we're going to learn this year, in that there's very little in Shas, and a lot of the discussions are therefore unrooted. But we'll do our best, and we'll even try and see, hopefully, that a lot of times understanding the Makor Dvarim and the Lamdas will help understand the Halacha. So, with all arayos, there's an Isser of Lo Sikrivu, which, according to the Rambam, is an Isser deraisa, an example of a Siag deraisa. We'll see that at the end of the Siman. In with respect to Anida, there's a specific law, Velisha, Anidas to Masa Lo Sikrav. Interesting question, why we need a separate pasuk. Maybe this indicates that it's not Bechlal arayos, or maybe here we need a different din, because as we'll see in a moment, it's going to work differently than other arayos. Again, at the end of the siman, we'll Be'ezras Hashem talk about that question of is it bechlal arayos? We'll talk about the machlokas Rambam, whether this is a smacht or a din deraisa. And generally speaking, first of all, just as a hakdama, before we get into the pratim, where presumably all of the halachos in our siman are equal between man and woman and man, with a couple of exceptions. So we'll see if there are more exceptions, but those quickly, because most of the time it's not spelled out. But I think these are the exceptions I quickly thought up, and then we'll see if there are any more, if I'm missing any. So one is with respect to leftovers, that there's a difference between the prohibition upon the husband eating the wife's leftovers versus the wife eating the husband's leftovers. We'll have to see why. For each of these, if we are going to distinguish, we of course need to figure out why there would be a difference. Number one is there's an isser exclusively on the Baal, l'shloach lakos shel yayin. It's usher for the Baal to sit on her mita, even shelo b'faneha, whereas with respect to the wife, it's only usher for her to lay on his bed in his presence. And there's no isser of yeshiva, presumably, at all. And then we'll also see, at least according to the Mechaber and some Rishonim, there's a difference in terms of chola. So in each of those four possible exceptions, you have to figure out why those might be different. Okay, so what's the makor for all of this? So the main Gemara that we're going to deal with is the Gemara Shabbos, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Tani de Be'el Yahu. Ma'ez v'tal medachat, Shoshana harbe, v'kara harbe, v'shimesh talmidei chachamim harbe, u'meis b'chatzi yamav, v'haysa ishto notelas tefillin, u'machzerasam bevate knasios, uvate medrashos, v'amr lahem, k'siv batora, ki uchayach v'arach yamecha, v'ayeli, Shoshana harbe, v'kara harbe, v'shimesh talmidei chachamim harbe, mepnei ma, Meis bechatzi yamav. V'lo haya adam machzira davar. So there's a tragic situation. A young Talmud Chacham dies, and his wife is perplexed. Why did he die so young? Pam achas nisarachti etzla, v'haysa mesicha kol oso me'ura. V'amarti la. So Eliyahu Anavi addressed her question. He says to her, Biti, bimeni duseich, Mahu etzlech. What was he like when you were Nida? Amralai. Chas v'shalom. Afilu de'etzbaktana lo nagabi. She didn't even touch him at all. Bimei libunech. So, mahu etzlech. What about imei libunech? So we're going to talk about what that means, but that presumably means during Shiva Nekiyim. The fact that we refer to Shiva Nekiyim as Libunech, so what does that mean? So really we're going to talk more about that in Siman Kuf Tzadivav. Does that imply that you have to wear Lavan? But Bimei Libunech Mahu. So Achal Imi, V'shasa Imi, V'yashin Imi B'kiruv Basar, V'lo Alsa Daito Al Davar Acher. So of course we didn't have Tashmish, but for some reason these harchakos were not observed. Now, an important question here is, what do we derive from here that's aser? Clearly, some of these things are aser, like Shena Bekirv Basar, what about Achalimi Vishasimi? What exactly is wrong with Achalimi Vishasimi? What, clearly something's wrong. Well, what's wrong? So that's what we need to figure out. Damarti La, Ayaliyahu said to her, Baruch Hamakum Shehargo, Shalom Nasa Panim La Torah, Share Amra Torah, Velisha Benidas Tumasa Lo Sikrav. Agav, you see an interesting thing. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvahs is medayik from this Lashon. The Lashon of the Gemara was, again, Shalom Nasa Panim La Torah. So he says, you see from here that Harchakos cannot be an Isser Deoraisa, like the Rambam claimed, because then you wouldn't say, then you would have said, Sha'avar al Divrei Torah. Shalom Nasa Panim La Torah implies that there wasn't, she wasn't, no, he wasn't, but they both weren't Nosei Panim La Torah, but it doesn't imply a formal Isser. That's the Diyuk of the Ramban. The Megillas Esther says that, no, the term to defend the Rambam, Shalom Nasa Panim La Torah, is going on the opposite, a very fascinating reading. Again, I don't know if the Diyuk of the Ramban anyway is Machrach, but he says, no, Shalom Nasa Panim La Torah means Faker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't Nosei Panim La Torah, meaning to say, Hashem could have shown favoritism to this guy because he was a Talmud Chacham, Kara Harbe, Shana Harbe. No, Baruch Hashem, that he wasn't Nosei Panim La Torah. He still killed the guy, B'chatzi Yamav, for his infractions, and he wasn't Nosei Panim La Torah. Okay, so that is the principal Gemara, the main Gemara in Shas. Again, we'll see the Gemara in Ksubos as well as the second Gemara, but that's the primary Gemara. So the first question we have to figure out here is there any basis for this distinction that this couple had between Yemei Nida and Yemei Libun? So Tosfos over there writes, Lo Mishum Shiesh L'chalek Benidas Libun. Don't be medayek from Eliyahu's question that there is a distinction between Yemei Nida and Yemei Libun. Dehar Rabbi Akiva Beperek Bamei Isha Yotzas. We know that she's equally asura until she is tovelis in the mikvah, and therefore there's no reason why her chakos would be any more kal b'yemei libuna. So why did Eliyahu ask the question this way? Eliyahu really knew what happened. He was asking leading questions, so he knew that for some reason this couple was more mekel during yemei libun, and therefore he asked this question in this way. But in reality, there is no halachic distinction whatsoever between Yemei Nida and Yemei Libun. The Rach V'Rashi Pirshu B'Perek Af Al Pi Gabei Shmuel Mechalfa Lei Devisu B'Yad D'Smala Hainu Yemei Libuna. But Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel do distinguish in Ksubos and the other Harchaka Gemara. Rashi and Rach distinguish between Yemei Libun and Yemei Nida. Einer Kedibur Rashi Tosa says it's wrong. Rabbeinu Tam Piresh, Shayuragilin Litbal Shtei Tvilos. So, perhaps, there is a basis for distinction, but what would that be? After all, she's equally Asura until she goes to the Mikvah. The answer is, in those days, they used to be Tovelas twice. Achas L'Sof Sheva L'Riyasa. Now, there's one where Mid'oraisa, she is really Tahora. B'hach Tvila. V'achas L'sof Yemei Libun, and one at the end of the Yemei Libun. Why would they do this? Presumably for Taharos and the like, if she accidentally touched something that was Truma or Taharos. Obviously, we don't do this nowadays, and there would be no need to do this nowadays. There would be no advantage to doing it nowadays. But since they did this to Tvilos, L'kacha Yemekel Osoish. Now, Rabbeinu Tam isn't saying that this is right. Rabbeinu Tam is answering, well, how could Oso Ish, right? Obviously this fellow who died B'chatzi Yamav was a big Talmud Chacham. So what was his Havamina, right? He also knew she's equally Asura until she goes to the Mikvah. So Rabbeinu Tam explains, what was his mistake? His mistake was that since they used to do two Tvilos, he thought that, well, there's no longer an Isser D'Oraisa for us to be together. So there's more Makom to be lenient with respect to our Chakos. And that was his mistake. Now, if you look at the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef writes that all the Rishonim were Docha, Rashi, and the Rach. But still, we have to ask, what were they thinking? Right? So we could say that Rashi and the Rach held like Rabbeinu Tam. Now again, Rabbeinu Tam doesn't say it's right. Rabbeinu Tam just says that was the Havamin of Oso Talmud. But maybe Rabbeinu Rashi held like that Talmud, and they held that since there's no Issur D'oraisa, we're a little more kal. That's one possibility. Another possibility to explain their position is that maybe there is another reason for certain types of harchakos. Harchakos aren't just usur because of a concern that they'll sleep together, but rather a concern for some type of metaphysical harm that might come from someone who is anida. Ramban famously talks about this in his Pirshei HaTorah in a couple of places. That's what the word nida comes from, nidui, that even in the Primatan Torah, some people were aware of this idea. And maybe Rashi and Rachel, that certain harchakos of staying away from her were to distance yourself from that metaphysical harm, and or maybe physical harm, whatever it is. And that only applies when she's bleeding. In fact, the Rishonim make such a distinction. We'll see this also at the end of the siman with respect to the minhag of looking at a Sefer Torah and the like. Some Rishonim cite a minhag that women should look at a Sefer Torah. Some even not say brachos. There's variations as to how far this minhag goes. And the poskim l'maisa say, we shouldn't, even if we're going to accept the minhag, we shouldn't go as far as some Rishonim did, that she shouldn't even say brachos. She shouldn't even say birkas hamazon, hayal al adas. That's talk of the opinion of some Rishonim. But if you look at most of those Rishonim in the Beis Yosef over here, it's clear that those things only apply when she's bleeding, and not when she is a asura. In other words, not kodem shalachas lemikva, right? For example, a single woman, right? We wouldn't say she can never go to shul, just not when she's anida, even though she's not going to the mikvah. So could be, maybe. That's why Rashi thinks that with respect to certain harchakos, we distinguish between Yemei Nida and Yemei Libun. But one way or the other, seemingly, when you look at the Beis Yosef, we reject this distinction. And we reject the Shita of Rashi and Rabbeinu Hanano. However, when you look at the Ramah, it's not so clear. It's brought up. The Ramah in Sif Yudalid writes, now I apologize, we're not going to go straight in order for this siman. We'll go mostly in order, but just because I thought certain things might make sense to do earlier on. So the Ramah writes in Sif Yudalid, V'yesh Omrim, De'en lahachmir b'yemei libuna, b'inyan isser achila, imo bekara. The isser of achila imo bekara, eating together, sharing the same plate, is mutter b'yemei libuna. The minhag is to be makel v'yesh lahachmir. So the Ramah himself concludes one should be machmir, but acknowledges, quotes as a yesh omrim and acknowledges that that's the minhag, that we are in fact more makel. This view is quoted in Adarkei Moshe, and it's quoted in the Mardechai, and it's said in the name of the Ravya. That now the Ravya's position is unclear. What the Ravya says is the following. The Ravya says, Achar yemei libun leka hergel avera v'tov lechol ima kadesha tirtza litbo em yachola litbo. Now, the Ramah writes about that. Al zera isi mekilim b'yemei libuna. This is in Adarkei Moshe. Based off of this Rav Yah, who said you could be mekel achar yemei libun, I saw people that were mekel the entire yemei libun. Ve'enirali lismoch al zeh. You shouldn't rely on this view. V'Rav Yah hu yachid b'zeh. The Rav Yah is a das yachid. Now, whether this is the view of the Ramah himself, or this is the view of the Nohagim, they understood that the Rav Yah was make of all of the Shiva Nikiyim. So the Bach says, Ma Pitom. They totally misunderstood the Rav Yah. The Rav Yah was only megil achar yemei libun, kidei shetisrata litbo, meaning to say like this. Rav Yah held that there was a concern that women wouldn't want to go to the mikvah. Why? Maybe because it was freezing, or some other reason. Going to the mikvah, even today, isn't always so easy, but certainly in the olden days, oftentimes entailed a lot of hardship. There might be certain reluctance, especially if a woman feels a distance from her husband, which, by the way, we'll have to talk about a little bit. It's important that that not happen, a husband, despite keeping her chakos kedas u'kedin, make sure that his wife continues to feel loved and cherished and not ostracized or nidui or anything like that.
Despite the Ramban.
Despite the Ramban, yes. Despite the minhagim kodem matan Torah, right? Though we don't keep those minhagim, right? We paskin, there's a heter yichud. Your wife doesn't have to go into a separate tent. I hope that. despite everything, yes, it's very, very important sometimes in certain ways to show her extra love, not in a sexual way, but extra love and affection so that she doesn't feel this way. And obviously, we'll talk about this a little later, one has to draw the proper balance. but one way or the other, the Rav Yah, according to the Bach, says that, this is what it sounds like from the Rav Yah, needed to be warmed up a little bit at the end. Now, it's sort of interesting, because the Rav Yah's Lashon was, Achar Yemei Libun, right? Achar Yemei Libun sounds like the Shiva Nakim are already over. But clearly, she hasn't been Tovelith yet, because it says, Kadesha Tisratza Litbo, so that she agrees to go to the mikvah, so what do you mean, Achar Yemei Libun? What I assume this means is it's talking about on the seventh day. In a certain sense, the seventh day is Achar Yemei Libun. Why? Because at least Midoraisa, she could go to the mikvah today. We very much discourage going to the mikvah on the seventh day of Shiva Nakiyam, and it might be Usher, it might be just discouraged. We'll talk about that later. But in a certain sense, it's Achar Yemei Libun. And therefore, there are certain leniencies on the seventh day. Why? De'en lachosh, says the Bach, Shema yavo ala biyom shvi'i, kevan shi tovelas la'arev. Right, lemaisa, she's going to go to the mikvah that night. So he'll be able to refrain and restrain for a couple more hours until the evening, and therefore to encourage her to go to the mikvah, you should drop some of the harchakos, because there's no concern for Aveira. But even that, even if that explanation is accepted, and the Bach is quoted by the Shach, Sifkan Yud Zayin, we still don't really accept this. And we still say that, at least in terms of formal harchakos, no formal harchakos should be violated the entire Yemei Libun. We reject the view of Rashi, like the Rama says, even though this might be the view of some Rishonim, Lemaisa, you should be Machmir. Again, as an Eitz Tova to show extra warmth on the day she's going to go to the mikvah, perhaps that does make sense, but not in a way that formally violates any of the harchakos. So, when we look through our simon, we find, I think, that there are three types of isurim. Number one is the isur of tash b'shamita. That's, of course, an isur karis. The second is negiya b'der achiba, or achiba spear, the like, and that is an isur d'oraisa, according to the Rambam, and perhaps most Rishonim, and we'll talk about at the end of the simon how we paskin, but presumably we're machmir on that child, and we say that lo sikriva was even an isur d'oraisa. And then there are harchakos. And harchakos are certainly midrabanan. And these harchakos are harchakos that, generally speaking, apply only to anida and not to other arayos. In other words, as opposed to the din d'oraisa, which presumably apply equally to arayos and nida, We talked about why you need two psukim, but one way or the other, they both apply midoraisa. When it comes to other types of harchakos, not passing or the like, maybe even touching shalobadar chiba, so those are dinim that apply exclusively to nida. They're dinim derabanan that apply exclusively to ishto nida, I should say. And the reason is very simple. Why is it that we have so many chumras for nida that don't apply with all other arayos? All arayos are also isurei kares, isurei misa. And the answer is twofold. Number one is because we also have a lot of kulas with respect to nida that don't apply to other arayos. First and foremost, yichud. You're sharing the same bedroom with your wife while she's a nida, which is, again, probably nisr d'oraisa with all other arayos. So, because we have to be so makel while she's a nida, and we want to be makel, we don't want to follow Ramban, like the Gemara and Shabbos says, we even allow her to get made up while she's a nida. You're even allowed to look at her and be nana from looking at her while she's a nida. We have many kulas for nida, and because we have all those kulas, and those kulas are important because they're still married, and we want them to remain married and remain a couple and remain a happy couple. So we have to countervail those leniencies with harchakos, which remind them that they're aser b'tashmish shamita, and will put a added degree of distance between them, because in so many other ways we're so lenient. And moreover, of course, obviously they're used to being with each other, and they're hopefully very attracted to each other, and all sorts of things. So that's why, because we have these leniencies, we also have to have the stringencies. Now you could ask, well, how could we even have these leniencies? So the answer is that suga bashoshanim, this is another sugya, that HaTorah Ida, that a couple is able to withstand that temptation and observe the halachos of nida, even when they are living together in the same bedroom. Tosus, in fact, says it's very interesting. Assuming for a moment that nida that yichud with arayos is a nisr d'oraisa, like the pasuk pshat and shas, how could a pasuk from Shir HaShirim be matir in nisr yichud d'oraisa? Tosus answers, and it's actually, we discussed this last year in Junzman, what's pshat in the Tosus' answer? Is it the same answer as Rabbeinu Yonah? Is it a different answer from Rabbeinu Yonah? But without getting into two details, Tosa says that, well, look, here, since she's going to be muteres very quickly, meaning to say, sometimes it doesn't feel so quick, but lamaisa, in a week or two, she'll be able to go to the mikvah. And moreover, he was already with her, they were already together. This is an act that they're used to already. So mameila, when those two factors are there, then there's no iser yichud. Now, if one of those two factors are missing, then there would be an iser yichud even between a husband and wife. So either if they've never been together, so then there is an iser yichud. We'll talk about that later in the year, but kalash apir sanida, there's an iser yichud. Why? Because the temptation is greater when they've never been together. And likewise, if she's not sofo li taher, like she was a sota or something like that, so then there's also an iser yichud. It's only when those two factors are present, both they've been together and they're going to hopefully be together again shortly, that we would say that there's no iser yichud, which of course is 99.9% of the time.
How do
you answer Tosus's question? So that's a good question, and again, in the last year in Junzman we discussed this, the arichas. The simplest reading is that when there's no chshash bia, then there's no iser yichud min haTorah. That's why, for example, some of the Tosa Rush points out that even though originally there's an iser yichud with achosa, when the anshe knesses midoraisa, when the anshe knesses gedola removed that yetzer hara, then it became mutter. How could that be? The answer is that if in reality there's no chshash, so then there's no iser yichud min haTorah. And since Sugav HaShoshanim, since Lamaisa, they've been together, and they're going to be together, so then there's no chshash, memela, there's no isher. But that's not the only way to read Tosfos. The other way to read Tosfos, and some Rishonim are more explicit, is that it's not doma to the source for Isser Yichud Minat Torah. What does that mean? How do we know Isser Yichud Minat Torah from the Parsha which mentions relatives? And those relatives are not sof only taher. In other words, you're never going to be mutter to your mother, no matter what. So the only types of arayos for which we can extrapolate an Isser Yichud Minat Torah are the ones that are dumya de'imo, that are not sofo li taher. So memelo, there's no makor for the Isser. So those are two answers we find in a Rishonim, how we're matir this Isser Dereis. And of course, according to some Rishonim, it's not an Isser Dereis at all, in which case, this is actually one of the rayos that the Rishonim bring, that the drasha that's brought to Aser Yichud is an asmachta, even though the Gemara says explicitly it's minat Torah. Yeah?
The original suggestion was that the reason why we have these extra chumras is in order to counterbalance the kulas.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're saying that the kulas aren't actually kulas, they're just...
So I think the point is like this. I presented it backwards. Or out of order. The first step is, why is Yichud Mutter? Answer is, Yichud is Mutter because there's no chash bia. Good. Now, and that might even be a din deraisa, correct. Now, for a couple of points. Now, midoraisa, so we would stop there, right? Meaning to say, midoraisa, the only things that are usher for nida are usher for sharayos. I don't think on a deraisa level there's any difference between nida and arayos. So now the question, though, is whether Chazal felt that they should make all these additional harchakos that don't fall under the Isser Deraisa. Well, what motivated that? In other words, why did they make these Isurim for Ishtel Nida and not all other Arayos, even Nida that isn't your wife? For example, let's assume Nida, passing, or let's assume for the moment Negiya Shaloba Darchiba. Let's assume it's not so pashut, because some poskim think that there is an Isser Derabanan for Sharayos for Negiya Shaloba Darchiba. But let's assume the pashtus is there's no Isser Negiya Shaloba Darchiba, even an Isser Derabanan for Sharayos, and there is for sure when it comes to Ishto Nida. So the question is, why did Chazal see fit to make that Isser Derabanan? So the answer clearly is that there was more of a concern. Well, why was there more of a concern? That's what Donnie's asking. Sugar Bashoshanim, right? So the answer is, on a Drabbanan level, on a Drabbanan level, they were still concerned. They were still concerned for the reasons that I think I said, that they're living together, they're attracted to each other, and the like. And therefore, on a Drabbanan level, they made these additional harchakos.
And that was the second reason, right? Originally, there were two suggested reasons. Either as a counterbalance,
I thought they were both. I didn't mean them as two separate ones. They're the counterbalance because they're together. And they have a stronger relationship. There's a chash, and we're concerned, at least midrabanan, that the regular derais harchakos will not be enough.
So being counterbalance is not a separate. There's one.
Yes. I think so.
And why can't that be midrabanan? Why can't it be that because, just like I used to, the lack of the normal deraisa of backwards makes it mutter, why did not have that? The Tosefis of natural chiva.
You might have said that, but the
that could also be why you have those sitka.
Yeah, no. So for sure that would explain it. Then that we were alluding to that, but that's still a bit of a chiddush. Because at least the way the Rambam reads the Pasuk, based off of Chazal, is the examples given in Chazal of what's Aser because of Lo Sikrav, or Lo Sikravu, are all Chiba-type things. So that's why the Rishonim didn't want to. I think you could have imagined such a thing. You could have imagined saying, well, anything that might lead to an Avera is Bichlal, Lo Sikrav, or Lo Sikravu. And Memela, these are things that Chazal felt might lead to an Avera, and therefore they're actually Aser Midoraisa, they're Bichlal, the Aser. Either they didn't feel that because it's not, the concern wasn't high enough, or that, no, the lashon of kirva, I think, in its word, still implies derech bia. And therefore, it wouldn't be a valid reading of the pasuk. Now, that's the question. So, you know, how far they go is also a question, right? There's a famous tshuva from Rav Moshe that sounds like having a girlfriend in high school is an iser deoraisa because of lo sikrivu, right? Why? Because you're going to flirt. So he's medayik from Chazal and from the Rishonim that very literally that even dibor. Right, ladaber imam echar gader. Now, you know, the difficulty with that tshuva from Rav Moshe, and now's not the time to get into it, is that according to Rav Moshe, it's not clear why going on dates wouldn't be an iser deoraisa as well. Just because your kavana is to get married, why would that? If you think that talking is an iser deoraisa without intention to get married, right? You can't kiss with the intention to get married. We would say that's an iser deoraisa. So, you know, you want to try it out, see how things go. Right? You'll get that argument from a lot of people. But we don't accept that argument. So if you really accept Rav Moshe's argument, who says that even talking could be b'chlal the iser deraisa, so, and it is an iser deraisa in the case of having a girlfriend when you're in high school, so then it's not at all clear why it would be mutter for purposes of dating. But anyway, I think we're so. But I only mention that because it highlights this point that defining the scope of the iser deraisa isn't so clear. And what does it include? Does it include winking? Does it include flirting? Is it limited to touching and hugging and kissing? Right. That's not so clear, and it is debated by the poskim. But I think everybody agrees that, you know, carrying a couch together is not bechlal zeh. Okay. Yeah.
Doesn't the Rosh say it? The story about the couch about
Zeehud? Yeah.
Oh, okay. You said
no, no, I was...
Oh, okay.
I wasn't presenting my understanding of what I've seen. Okay. Good. Another interesting thing, you'll find many gzeros l'gzeros here in our simon, at least in some shitos. Something to think about is, you know, where the Torah itself made a gzera, then maybe we could make a gzera l'gzera, and the like. But again, like I said before, and this should be emphasized, though this isn't chasm classes, this should be emphasized much, much more, but at the very least, what we'll say at Bekitzer, which is that despite all these harchakos that we have, you need another counterbalance, one of Seichel Ayasha, which is, you know, Ona is also an Iser Deraisa, and making your wife feel bad or feel unloved or feel rejected or ostracized or the like is also a very Chamor Iser, and therefore, you know, women generally tend to feel bad enough when they're nida. Sometimes they shouldn't feel bad, but they sometimes do feel bad. And then adding to that can sometimes make things worse. And among other things, that's one reason why we don't, generally speaking, make up our own harchakos. There's more than enough to keep the couple from doing an aveira, generally speaking. Okay. So let's begin with the Isser of Negia. Because that, as we saw, is Meforish in the Gemara, Afilu Betz Bektana Lo Nagabi, and we hold that that is Asser, like we just said, not just the Negia B'Dar Chivas Bia, but any form of Negia. Perhaps only Midrabanan, but that's the Halach, and that's clear cut.
Everything that's Meforish in the Gemara, it could be she's like she's... She's saying we didn't do it like Guzman.
Is it 100% mefurish? Maybe not, but lemaisa, that's the diuk that all the Rishonim made. So it's true. So not only do we prohibit, so now the question is: okay, you can't have direct contact. Well, what about indirect contact? So the Aruch HaShulchan, Sif Katan Chaf, writes that you shouldn't even touch her clothing. That's also a form of negia, some sort. Not everybody agrees. Other achronim, including the Kitzur Echos Nida, says this is a chumra, and certainly you could be lenient if it's difficult to avoid. Likewise, the poskim say that you can't even touch each other by means of another object. Many poskim say that, like even a long pole. The Pischei Tshuva Sif Katan Gimel quotes the Adal Yahu. This is one of the most extreme examples. Well, though it's largely rejected, we'll see shortly, that she can't even light his cigarette. Right? That's a bad idea for a different reason. Regardless, and he invokes the laws of Tumah and Tahara, is reminiscent of the sugya we learned last year in Yaradeya, Nitzach Chibur. We didn't understand that in Yaradeya, and we don't understand that in Hilchos Nida, what that has to do with this. But he held, this Yad Eliyahu obviously held, that this too is some form of contact. In other words, since in the world of Tum and Tahara there's the possibility of spreading Tumah even without physical contact, so this too would be considered contact and therefore prohibited in terms of Hilchos Nida. Obviously, this Chumra would hold that he can't touch anything that she's holding. So even though that many are poskim are machmir, that they can't hold something together, as we'll see, but everybody is makel that you can touch something she's touching. For example, if she's touching the table, you may also touch the table. Another example, I think it would be okay to go for a walk where each parent is holding the child's hand, a different hand, right? So they can't swing the child, as the child might wish. But, what? We'll talk about that. It's a good point. But for now, I'll safely say that you can't swing the child. But you could both hold their hand. And I think if you needed to, let's say you need to administer medicine, and the child is not participating. So for one parent to hold a child and the other parent to feed the child, force feed the child, whatever the case may be, would also be okay. But we do paskin, one second, that they can't lift objects together, they can't carry things together, and Rav Moshe understands, this is in base Ayin Hay, that this applies even for heavy objects. So, like we said before, they couldn't carry the couch together. Other poskim, like the Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yud Beis, Simen Nun Ches, is Mekel, at least Bishas Hadchak, so he is Mekel, the couple can carry a baby stroller up the steps, for example, if necessary. The Havadi is also Mekel for heavy objects against Igros Moshe. He says there's no Kir of Das, but Rabbi Willig is Machmir. Rabbi Willig is Machmir, and he thinks that you can't carry things together, you can't hand each other things, and you can't carry things together even if they're heavy. You could open the door for her and let her pass through first. The Pischei Tshuva, Sif Katan Dalid, writes from the Minchas Yaakov, you can't even blow off his lint. This is a very perplexing halacha as well. Right, what's his source? Right, the story that Amemar says, I'm puzzled to judge you because you did me a favor. Now, I think everybody agrees you could do your wife a favor while she's a nida. So that being the case, what's he talking about? Apparently, he turns this into a type of zrika. That's why if you look at the Tarsus Shlomo, when he quotes this halacha, she quotes it in Dinei Zrika. Somehow or another, her blowing the lint off his suit would be Aser al Tzizrika, which we say is Aser. Lamaisa, the place he is makel to blow off the lint, and even if you look at that Tarsus Shlomo was Machmir, it doesn't sound like he's Machmir Mikra Din. He writes a Machmir Tavalov Bracha. So this relates to passing. So let's just talk about passing, and then we'll take the questions because they go together. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So where does passing come from? So Tosfos in Ksubo, Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, cites that Rashi, or the base medrash of Rashi, Machzor Vitri, Rabbeinu Shmaya, say in the name of Rashi, that you're not allowed to pass. And the question is, what's the makor? Tosfos quotes two possible makors and shas for this halacha, and he says neither of them are compelling. The first possibility is the Gemara in Ksubos, and he says there's no raya. Shani mezigas hakos hu davar shel chiba, just because he can, he's not allowed to do mezigas hakos or even hand her a cup of wine. But that is special chiba type of halacha. That's why he can't even put it on table in front of her, or her to him. So you can't extrapolate from mezigas hakos, which is a davar shel chiba, to all passing. And then he says, okay, well, we can't get it from Ksubos. Maybe we get it from the story that we read in Shabbos, the story of Seder Eliyahu. And he actually quotes a slightly different version of that story. But one way or the other, there you might have a raya, because Eliyahu asks her, Shema hevesa lo es hapach, Shema hevesa lo es hashemen, which you could read as saying maybe you handed him the oil. And then you could derive from there that passing is aser, and therefore perhaps that is a makor. But he says that's not a raya. Dematzinan lafar shelo al havas hapach hayamakted elahachi kaamar shema b'shas havas hapach lo nizharta v'nagabech. The Iker question was there negia? Maybe when you handed him things, you weren't careful. Now, there Tosus agrees that, though Tosus rejects the schumra of passing, he says you'd have to, you do see from that story in Shabbos that when handing things to another, you have to be careful not to touch each other, but you can't actually extrapolate from there an isser to passing, and he thinks that's the mashmos. The issue over there is an issue of passing, because what does she respond? Chas v'shalom afilu b'etba k'tane lo nagabi, meaning to say, we didn't do negia. You're worried about negia when passing. I could assure you we never touched each other. So, Tosfos therefore says there's no makor and shas for this idea. Now, the Rush, though, does think that that Gemara and Shabbos, the story of Eliyahu, is a makor. It might not be a makor and shas, though. If you look at the lashon of the Rush, it's shapir yesh raya l'minhag Rashi, meaning to say, minhag Rashi. If you're looking for a makor for a minhag, so the Gemara and Shabbos could be a makor for a minhag. If you're looking for a Muchrach Raya from Shas, so the Tosfos says, no, that's not a Muchrach Raya. But the Rosh says, you do have a, as a Minhag, and perhaps that's all Rashi maintained. Rashi might not have ever claimed that it was Aser Medina de Gemara, it was a Minhag. Well, as a Minhag, you can have a Ramez to the Minhag, a Makor for a Minhag, that Gemara and Shabbos does work. Maybe, but that's hard to know. But at the very least, for our minhag, we could say that there's a smach for it. Like he says, as Lashon is, there's a raya for minhag Rashi. So, doesn't sound like he's saying maybe, you know, even Rashi claimed it was only a minhag.
Could Rashi hold those now, cards in because of
his change of the let's get to Rashi. I don't think that would be right. But let's get to what's the reason for it? What's the reason for this? So, the more you play up this story, that the source, like the Rush says, is this the story of Eliyahu, so then, l'chora, the basis for this is going to be Negiah, right? It's a Gzeira Atu Negiah, or a form of Negiah, or something like that. It's going to be a Negiah Dika Halacha. If you look at the Mekor Advarim in the, you know, from the base Medrash of Shal Rashi, in the Machzor Vitri, in the Sefer Ha'ora, you actually get the impression that there's a different source for this in Rashi, not what the Rush was claiming, that it's a Din and Negia, and from the Smais of Eliyahu. I'll read you a little bit from the Sefer Ora. Same thing comes out from the Machzor Vitri and other sources. He writes, Kelim Shanida Nogas Bahen, Bizman Hazet Horin, Hain Eitzel Baila. Shahare bene Adam Shibizman Hazet, Metamin Bekfarus Ba'ola, Mace Vasharts Vemace. In other words, we don't have to worry about Tumma nowadays. Velo Yitar Eliola, Achi Yisrok Aleinu, Malkenu, Mayim Litaharenu, kelim shanida nogas bahen. Mutarin liga bahen, l'shtamish ban aval, aval machmirin anu al atzmenu, ve'en anu ochlin bekarachas, ve'lo mishiure ma'achala, ve'lo yoshvin al moshava, ve'lo mekablin klum miyada, el yidei acher. So it's not explicit, but the impression you get is that he's saying these sources are rooted in dinim of Tumah Torah, like he says, what does he put together with this Moshava and Shiurei Machala? And he says, even though we don't really care about Tumah Torah nowadays, but still, Aval, that's it, that's the Aval, that's the, he says, even though we're not Tahor, anyway, Aval, nevertheless, we're still Machmir and Al Atzmeinu. That sounds probably like a post-Talmudic minhag. We are mach, or if not post-Talmudic, I don't know when it started. It might have started in Talmudic times, but what I mean to say is not recorded in the Gemara. We're machmir and alatzmenu, right? It's naval, even though we're tamei anyway, and therefore you might have said this doesn't make so much sense, but we're machmir in ourselves not to do certain things that are rooted in dinei Tumah Torah. That's what I thought is the simple reading of the Lashon. And we'll see other sources, early sources, say this explicitly. Rabbeinu Haigon, with respect to Moshava, says this explicitly. Again, the Raiva jumps on Rav Haigon. He says, I don't know what he's talking about. We don't keep Dinei Tumah Torah. But what you see from these early sources, and from these the base Midrash or Shal Rashi, is that there are certain, I guess, leftovers or remnants from Dinei Tumah Torah. Now, the question would be why, right? That's exactly, in fact, why the Ravid rejects this. One way to say it, I saw this is the way the Mishmeres HaTorah suggests it in Bir Halacha on Sifta Zion, is that Mishmeres HaTorah, by the way, if you're interested for a resource, in Chelek Beis, he has certain simanim with a Mishnah Brura style commentary. So one of them is on Simon Kuf Tzadi Hei. Anyway, so he suggests that the pshat is like this. Since originally these things were restricted because of Dinei Tumah Torah, so memela a association of chiba became associated with them, because these are things that you only do when she's not a nida, and you don't do when she is a nida. And that remained even after we are no longer makbid about Tumah Torah, and in a certain sense continues till today, because the minhag, ironically, is what makes it or introduces an aspect of chiba to it. So, you know, we might not have started these practices nowadays, but we continued these practices. That's the way you could read Rashi. We continued these practices from the days of Tumah Torah, and maybe it's because he suggests there is the aspect of chiba became associated with them, even though inherently there isn't. And again, the Lashon of the Mafsar Vitri, I think, also sounds that way. He writes, first he has the same point that you have in the Sefer HaOrah, like the association with Tumah Torah, that even though we're all tamei nowadays, aval machmir na latzmeinu, not to pass. And then he writes, uminag yafa linhoke in mipnei hargal avera. So he starts off by implying that this is an offshoot of Tumah Torah, and he ends off by saying it's minag yafa because of hargal avera. So which one is it? If it's hargal avera, then it has nothing to do with Tumah Torah. But maybe the answer is, this is what the Mishmeres HaTorah suggests, it's both. In other words, it started off as Tumah Torah, but because of that association, it became associated with hergel aveira, and therefore it shouldn't be done. One way or the other, we, to summarize the halachos, we do accept this chumrah of Rashi, despite the lack of clear source in Shas. We said Tosos, though, disagrees. It's clear from the Rambam that only wine can't be passed. It's clear the Rambam didn't have this halacha. The Shulchan Aruch himself writes that it's because it might lead to passing. In other words, based off of the rush. If you look at the Shita Mekubetzis and Ksubos over there, it sounds like passing is a form of contact. And as we said before, this question might depend on what you see as the makor. Do you see, if you see the makor or the smach as the Gemara in Shabbos, so then you're going to see it more as a negiah type of halacha, which is what the Rosh says and what the Beis Yosef paskins. If you see it from the Gemara in Tuma, from the Gemara in Ksubos, the other possible makor that we see in the Rishonim, then you might have said it's a Tuma type of halacha. Now, the Shach, Sifkan Gimel, says that this applies even for a long object. In other words, and this is from the Beis Yosef, you might have thought that since it's Asar Alts Negiah, so a long object, you're both holding a pole that's 10 feet tall, 10 feet long, so you're not going to touch each other. Nevertheless, it's a low plug, and therefore it's Asar. We Paskin fear you can't use a Shinoi, and the reason is, we'll talk about this more later, Shinoi is relevant for things that are associated with Chiba, not Negiah. The Ramah writes, not only can't you hand each other things, but you can't even throw each other things. However, if you look at the Pesach Tshuva, Sifkat and Dalet, he writes, it's mutter to throw something up in the air, and she'll be poshetas yado mekablo. Ah, create chaf, you need to pass the keys. And she goes, you can't throw them to her. You just throw them up in the air. Hopefully the two of you are good at good jugglers. And that would be okay. The Aruch HaShulchan, by the way, is machmir about that. So,
it kind of sounds like he doesn't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, but it sounds like he accepts it, I think. Maybe. Somebody once asked if you can you play tennis or ping pong. Somebody said, oh, should be mutter as long as you bounce it. So right, so you can't slam. So I think Eitan Schnall once said you should never slam against your wife. Doesn't matter whether she's either or not. So maybe it would be okay. I don't know. It's a little schwert sounding to me. Lamaisa. We'll obviously have to talk about what the getter schok for kalos rosh is. This whole question is assuming this isn't bechlal schok for kalos rosh. We'll talk about that a little later. But assuming it's not Schok because of Moshe's Mekel?
Bear Moshe.
Oh, the Bear Moshe's Mekel? Wow, okay. Wow, I didn't know that. So I thought it's a little bit, a little fishy. First of all, you might, it's very easy without thinking to return a shot without a bounce. Okay, you're still not catching it, you're returning it. Maybe that's the difference. I don't know. Somebody told me Rabbi Simon is machia about the Shaila.
You're trying to get it away from
her. Mama's trying to get it away from her. Oh, it's the opposite of throwing her things. You want her to miss. So you can't play friendly tennis. You can't volley. You can just play competitive tennis.
You only slam.
No, you can't do the direct thing, but... Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure it sounds like such a good idea.
Should we make all the initial Piskachuva versus the Rav Shulchan?
That I hear much more. Tarsa Shlomim goes so far. He says that you can't even throw something onto her clothing. The Torah Shalman is Mekel. The Ramah only says, V'chein aydei zrika miyado liyada is aser. So as long as it's not miyado liyada, it's mutter. So you could throw something onto her clothing. What about, okay, that's one important kula. Could we go further? So the Badei HaShulchan writes, if Katan Lamed, that you could throw something into a bag she's holding. So it's very important. You want to pass the keys. So you don't want to do the Pesach Tshuva, throw up in the air and hope she catches it. So you could drop it into her purse. That's what the Badei HaShulchan writes. And it's a very strong diuk from the Taz. The Taz in Sifka and Ches is talking actually about Rechitza over there. But the Taz asks, why do we need a separate Isser Rechitza if anyways Rika's Asser? And he answers, because you're pouring from a kli. Right? Imagine you're so you can't pour from a kli onto her. She can't pour from a kli onto you. She can't give you a shower, wash your hands, whatever it is. But al tzrika wouldn't be aser because you're not throwing it to her. You're pouring from a kli. So it stands to reason that just like you can throw from a kli, you could throw into a kli. So therefore, it'd be mutter to throw it into her pocketbook. Now, if you look at the Pardes Rimonim. Pardes Rimonim is a very excellent sefer on Hilchos Nida also. It's on the Seder Shulchan Aruch. It's very lengthy. The Pardes Rimonim says, well, based off of this Taz, you could even be makel to put something into her pocketbook, into her bag. And Rabbi Willig accepts this. So you could put something into her purse based off of the same taz. Now, I didn't really understand why this is a good extrapolation, because maybe Zrika is mutter, but who says pudding is mutter? And the truth is that if you look at the Paradis Rimonim himself, though he thinks that it should make sense, Mizeh Yesh Ladun Lefisfaras Hataz Hanal Degam Behoshata Miyadu Liyada Al Yidei Devar Achar Shari Ukegon Im Techa Be'ezeh Davar Bekusho Bekarkar V'him Moshata Slo. You could pass through, you know, put something on a cushion, she'll take it from there. Should be mutter. But he himself notes at the end, Ach Mastima Saposkin Mashma De'en L'chalik B'zeh. So he doesn't really accept it so much. But Maaseh Rabbi Willig is Makil on this Paradis Rimonim and this Havana from the Taz, that not only is it mutter to place something in her bag, to throw something in her, drop something into her bag, but even to place something into her bag. It's only a more direct form of Zrika that's Aser. But anything that involves Kalim is mutter. Yes?
Is this discussion only when she's holding the bag, or when...
Yes.
Okay.
No, if she's not holding the bag, for sure, it wouldn't be a Shaila. Yes?
Rabbi said that there is a possible explanation of Achzer Vichy saying that there's a chiba associated with this act, so that wouldn't apply to a long object then. So we reject that svara? Sorry.
I don't know. The point is that...
The shino is not relevant, so because it's not... We're not talking about the Shem and Gia, so...
Right, well, first of all, it's not necessarily a shinoi, but Lamaisa, we accept the svara of the Beis Yosef, right? In the end of the day, even though the Makoros might, you know, Lamaisa, if you look at the Machzor Vitri, does say Hergel Davar, it does say it's an aspect of Chiba. But Lamaisa, the Beis Yosef, says it's also, it's based off of the Rush, Alts Nagia. Let me just finish up passing, and then we'll take some questions. Then we'll talk about, then we'll do Havdalah stuff. So, one of the most common questions that comes up here is the question of children. Somebody already mentioned here the famous Kula of the Tashbetz, quoted in Pesachei Tshuva, Sifkat Gimel, based off of Chai Nose Yes Atzmo. Now, if you look at the Tashbetz itself, there's actually two Tshuvos of the Tashbetz. One quotes one Svar, one he quotes both. He actually gives two Svaros there. Number one is Chayno Seyes Atzmo, and two is that he Eino Oseklum Elatinok Atzmo Hu Yotzei Mecheik Imo Uval Aviv, which sounds like the child lunges for the other parent. Now, obviously, that second svara will depend on the age of a child. An infant does not reach for the other parent. Chayno Seyes Atzmo might also depend on the age of the child. That, in fact, is in Machlokas Rishonim, when you start saying Chai Nosei Satzmo. Tosos and Shabbos is very makel about this. Tosos and Shabbos assumes that Chai Nosei Satzmo will apply to an infant, at least if the infant isn't sick, right? That's why Tosos is Machalik on the eighth day before and after the Bris Mila. Though, generally speaking, in Or Chaim, we're not makel on that Shaila. The Magen Avraham is Machmir. We don't start saying Chai Nosei Satzmo until the child's a bit older and able to carry itself. But again, the Tashbis himself sort of says both of those svaros. In Tshuva Nunches, he just says Chai Nosei Satzmo, but in the more complete Tshuva, he says both svaros. The Chai Nosei Satzmo, Kedisa Beperka Matznia, Vihi Eina Oseklum, El Hatinok Atzmo, Hu Yotze Mechek Imo, Uval Chek Aviv. You could say that that's all he means, meaning to say, this isn't really Chai Nosei Satzmo. You see, there's a couple of problems here. The obvious problem, one is, we already alluded to, which is the way we paskin, at the very least, this child, an infant, would be too young to apply the kul of Chai Nosei Satzmo. Well, even if we got overcome that issue, because there are Rishonim that apply Chai Nosei Satzmo at a very young age, but the obvious question that really nobody understands about this Tashbetz is that what does that have to do with Hilchos Nida? Meaning to say, what's the idea of Chai Nosei Satzmo? It's a din in Hilchos Shabbos, either because it's Eino Doma LeMishkan, or it's because of Shnaim Shasa'uhu, or something like that. Now, none of those svaros should at all be relevant to Hilchos Nida. So you could try to say that that he doesn't really mean chai nosias atzmo. He means really hatinok atzmo yotze mecheg imo valecheg aviv. In other words, you're not passing. The child goes on its own. The difficulty with that reading is, why does he say chai nosias atzmo? And it's not just that he says chai nosias atzmo. He quotes kedisa beperk hamatzniu beperk notel. And also in the first tshuva, that was in Reish Lamed, where he quotes both. In the first tshuva, Nun Ches, he only mentions Chai Nosias Atzmo. It's not clear that's what he means. Some, therefore, totally reject this Tashbetz. The Archa Shulchan, for example, says there's no Shaychus of Chai Nosias Atzmo Tilchus Nida, and it's wrong, we don't accept it. Others, there's a tshuva from the Mincha Shlomo, Tanyana, Simon Ayin Hey, the Shevet Alevi, and others say, you know, this Tashbetz doesn't make any sense and we don't accept it, lahalacha. I once saw someone explain, I don't remember where, that really Hoshata Miyada Liyada is Mutter Mikradin, except for Ochlen Umashkin. And like Tosfos and Rishonim point out, there's really no makor from Shas from this halacha. Lemaisa, we're noeg lahachmir al pi Rashi, but with the Sfar Koldehu, we could be mekel, we could be machalik. Meaning to say, if we really thought passing was asa medina de gemara, we would not start saying something like chai nosei asasmo to be mekel. But there's no makor in the gemara for this din, so we're Heichad nagu nagu, but if you have a svar koldu l'chalek, so we'll accept that. And that being the case, that's really what the Tashbetz is doing. Now, it's interesting, the Mishmar Satara has a different suggestion to explain the Tashbetz. This is in Nibir Alacha Sifkatan Tess. He says, and Sifkatan Tess, that the pshat is Alpi the Rashba. The Rashba writes that there's an interesting Shuvas HaRashba, it's in Chelek Alasim and Aleph Kuf Peches, that the Isser of Hoshata is not because of Negiah, like the Shulchan Aruch says, because if it was because of Negiah, then it would make no sense to be Mekel for a baby, right? If anything, you're most likely to touch each other when passing a child, because you really don't want to drop the baby. But rather, it's because of Kirva Mu'etes Be'etzem. That's what the Rashba writes. Rabbeinu Yonah has a similar thing. But the Rashba is Lashon is Afilu Hoshata Kli Miyad Ishto Nida Liyado Aser Lefi Shalibo Gaspa Uvekirva Me'at Ikalamechosh Leher Galaveira. So first of all, you see the Rashba, like the Machzor Vitri, saying it's Alter Galaveira, not like the Rash, not like the Shulchan Aruch. And he says, perhaps, if you learn that way, so usually, Bekirva Koldehu, there's a concern for Hagel Davar, but not here. Why? So again, it's sort of playing up the second Svara of the Tashbetz and saying, well, since the baby passes himself, it's like the Tinok doing the Hoshata, so then there isn't that same Hagel Davar. And he says that's the Svara of Chai Noseis Atzmo, means the same thing. Again, maybe not so clear that that's what the Tashbetz meant, but that's his Yishuv. Now again, if that's true, maybe it's not so pasha to be mekel, because like we said, the Shulchan Aruch says the reason for passing is aser out negia, in which case the svara doesn't even begin to make sense. So we have this Tashbetz basically, which, you know, on the one hand it's a Tashbetz and it's quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva. The Pesachei Tshuva does sound like he accepts it, and the Tashbetz was from the Gedolim. But at the same time, we have most later poskim, many, many later poskim, rejecting it just because it's very hard to understand, all of our theories notwithstanding. Now, there's a famous kul of Rabbi Willig, but I think that too is a little bit misunderstood. Rabbi Willig writes that under certain circumstances, you could be lenient with respect to harchakos for a chola she'en bo sakana. We'll see that later on in the Siman. We know that in other areas of halacha, like in Hilchos Shabbos, we treat a young child as a chola she'en bo sakana, and therefore it would be mutter to pass a child based off of that kula. In other words, since we're mekel on let's assume, passing for chol l'shem bo sakana, and the child's a chol l'shem bo sakana. So the male, we could pass a child. Why should that leniency of chol l'shem bo sakana be limited to where the parents are chola? It could also be applied where the object, the baby, is a chola. So that's Rebbe Willig's chiddush. Now, obviously, first of all, this would only apply if it's for the tzorach of the chol l'shem bo sakana, if it's for the tzorach of the child. It's not for the tzorach of the child, like you're taking family pictures, and okay, you know, like you want to pass each other to take the picture, so that the child doesn't have any need to be in the picture. That's for you, and neither of you are sick. So, l'chora, you can't apply the kul in that case. Now, if you look at the poskim on the din of chola, we'll get to it again at the end of the siman, but it's pretty clear from the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, that this kula for chola is only mutter im ein lo mishi shamshanu. So we could apply this kula, Rabbi Willig thinks, where there's no other good option. But l'chora, if there is another good option, just like when the spouses are sick, we wouldn't say pass if there's an easy way to avoid passing. So presumably, you wouldn't pass the child if there's an easy way to avoid passing the child. Now, sometimes there isn't, right? The famous Meiser, Rabbi Willig, the child on top of the car story, which might be, you know, what made him realize that you have to say this. But l'chora, it has to be like that. It has to be for the need of the child. I once asked, like, Rabbi Willig is not meiko for kfater. Right, that's one of the more people have this shaila because they're embarrassed. So Willig doesn't think you could pass the child for kvater, because that's not for the child, that's for you. So he thinks you could do either put down the child, or you could do the pillow trick, where you know you come in, the wife comes in having two pillows, and then he takes the pillow, the upper pillow off of her. So he's not passing the baby to her; they're not passing to each other. He's just lifting up the second object. But we can't really be mako without that. The Dark Yeshuva, we'll get to it, says you shouldn't play or kiss a child that the other one is holding also. Like we said before, I don't think this applies to giving medicine. Okay, we've mostly finished the issue of passing and holding together. Not entirely, we'll finish next time, but I know there are a lot of questions, so I'll quickly take some questions. Yes?
The process of learning that the general head of kindness of that is that child is big enough to go on its own. It's not strange that the
court is more than child. Yeah, so you could say that, but then it shouldn't be quoted. He should limit it. Meaning to say, the way the Pesach Yeshuva quotes and the way the Tashbit says it is really misleading then. It should say, like, Katan Gadol V'yachol, or something like that. Now, you could say that's what he means. The Tashbit knew that you know Hilchos Shabbos, and you know that we don't accept Tosus, and we only apply Chaynos Yisafon for an older child, and an older child will naturally, generally reach out for the other person that's, you know, reaching for it, and that's what he means. And in a Chanami, that would answer the question. But when you look at the Tashbeis Lamaisi, he doesn't put any limitations on it, which is surprising, and leaves one somewhat with the impression that it would apply for all children. But that's unclear. Yeah. Yoni.
Was there a record for Nigia through an object? Meaning, I thought Rebbe had mentioned, first started explaining the Harkonnen.
Well, that's the question of why passing is Usser. So some sources understand that the Isser of passing is because it's Nigia through the object, Shittim Kubatis and the like. So if you understand it that way, then it would be Usser. Whereas other poskim say, no, passing is Usser, else passing, let's say, because of Achshash Nigia. But there's no din, and that's why, again, many poskim say, certainly everybody agrees you could touch the thing she's touching, and as we saw, some poskim say, you know, touching her, even if you're touching her clothing or something like that, that she's wearing wouldn't be usher, because it's only usher if you're actually passing. Yes?
Two things.
Yeah.
One is the Rashba that you were saying about the Tshuva, so
yeah.
Yes,
it is absolutely a steer towards Avayis. The Rashban Torah Sabai says, like the Rush, that it's because of Nagia, and the Rashban Shuva says, gives the other Sfar.
Yeah.
I don't have a resolution.
Second of all, whoever the Sfar was, I don't really know about that, maybe the Makor was only by Achila and Shasiya for passing, but the Sefer HaPrati says that even Masiris Mateah or Shum Dava, they're in this time. So like,
yeah, it doesn't sound that way. I agree. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, with the Torah of Solomon that has...
No, no, no. Well, yeah, again, you'd have to say something like Chalak. Yeah, it's difficult. Yes.
There's Torah of Solomon about throwing it out their clothes.
Yeah.
The Taz about the showering.
Yeah.
So, based on these things like ping pong and whatever, should be totally mutter. Because
yeah.
You've got a paddle and...
Yeah, yeah. It should be mutter.
So... Well, mice, we don't seem to go by these.
Well, ping pong, I still... It's not obvious if you... Without the balance.
Well, you're holding a paddle. You're not actually talking.
Oh, I see. You're saying it's only if you... Only handball would be up.
Yeah. And that
yeah, you're right. I agree. According to the Taz, there's nothing to talk. Ping pong for sure would be mutter, because even if you see it as a zrika, it's zrika from a kli. Absolutely. So now we'll have to get back to Kalas Rosh, whether ping pong and tennis would be us or else Kalas Rosh. But alts the other din, then that should be mutter. And you're right, you're saying, good, since we accept the Taz, then it doesn't matter if you slam it. Correct. Ray Willig accepts the Taz. I told you, Ray Willig even accepts the Pardes Rimonim's version of the Taz. I'm sorry? The Darkei Teshuva is that you can't even play with a baby. I think even without touch, you know. So I think that's a extension because, yeah.
The feeding baby.
I think you could be Mako for feeding the baby, like we said. Uh-huh. It's just playing, kissing, so that, you know, you show chiba to the baby and you show chiba to the mother holding the baby. So.
Meaning, let's get most postmen seem to be not. I mean, everybody who handles the ping pong.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's totally unexact. No.
I thought we accept the Taz. Very well, he thinks we accept the Taz, even not the extension of the Taz. So once you accept the Taz, isn't he right? Because it's going from a kli, the ping pong and tennis shayla.
I guess it seems like most postmen don't accept the Taz. No?
The Badi Ashochan accepts the Taz. How could anybody be more machmir than that? Yeah.
Maybe it's just something radical. We do say that sometimes things are considered an extension of the hand.
Ha. Tennis racket is a yad arechta. I don't know. A watering can for a shower is also...
Sorry?
The watering can for the shower, whatever, when you're washing her nagelwasser, right? Not nagelwasser.
It's not an extension. It's like, give me a holding and I'm pouring it.
Okay. I hear. Maybe. Okay. Interesting. Fine. Bezat Hashem, we'll pick up on Wednesday, regular time.
Sorry, Bob.
Yeah.
After learning a little bit, so I have a question.